Last week, we heard John's hymn to the Eternal Word, a verse that most of you probably have memorized. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. As John tells us, this Word isn't a book or a speech or an abstraction. This Word is a flesh and blood human being, the man who dwelled among us, who gave us grace and truth, Jesus, the Messiah. And today we see this divine word do something curious. He goes to John the Baptist for baptism just as any ordinary sinner would. So why would Jesus do this? He wasn't an ordinary sinner. He needed no forgiveness. In fact, he came to forgive others. So what's going on? First, we should remember who John the Baptist was. A true rebel, he ran afoul of both the temple establishment and secular authority. John offered a means of grace outside the traditional sacrificial system prescribed in Torah, the first five books of the Bible. This means of grace was new. It was based on the practice of bathing for ritual purity, but it was applied here to one's own sinfulness and need for forgiveness, a need for a fresh start. It attracted those kinds of people who needed that fresh start. It attracted those exhausted by the indignities and humiliations of suffering under empire, of suffering under the Roman Empire, the old realm. And it also attracted those searching for the kingdom of heaven, a kingdom proclaimed by John. And then Jesus shows up one day, the king of this new realm. John, of course, is stunned by this. He knows who Jesus is and protests, "I should be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus says something very curious. Here's my paraphrase of what he says. "Don't worry about that. This is the right thing to do so that all relationships can be made right." This is the right thing to do so that all relationships can be made right. Jesus is his heavenly Father's son. In Matthew's gospel, he already knows that. He doesn't need further divine confirmation of it. But for the sake of the humanity he came to save, he does a public act of obedience to the will of his Abba Father. And in that act, he declares that he is throwing his lot in with a wayward, sinful humanity once and for all. That is accomplished in this baptism of John's. Jesus submits to a baptism at the hands of a good, though sinful man, descending into the muddy Jordan waters. And in that baptism, by descending into the muck and mud of the Jordan, he descends into the muck and the mud of the human experience. He takes on the chaos and the indignities of what it means to be, of what it is to be human. He takes on our limitations, our weaknesses, and even our very sinfulness. As St. Paul wrote, "He was made to be sin who knew no sin." Before he suffered and died for anyone, he took on our sin in these waters. Jesus here is truly our Emmanuel, truly God with us. He fully embraces our humanity. And in doing his Father God's will, he publicly takes on the mantle of divine sonship. His Father declares, "This is my beloved Son," publicly. This isn't done privately in the dark of night or behind closed walls. This is a public revelation of who Jesus is. It's a stunning revelation of the intention of God toward humanity. God intends solidarity, not distance. God intends love, not contempt. God intends mercy, not punishment. Jesus, the only unique Son of God, takes on everything that we are, everything we are, our weakness, our vulnerability, our sin, so that we can be everything he is. Just as he is God's son by nature, he comes to adopt us into God's family as beloved sons and daughters of God. Today, we welcome Judah into that same family. When Judah is baptized here in a few minutes, Jesus will take everything that is Judah's upon himself. A little baby can't really be said to be a sinner in any meaningful sense, except for maybe keeping mom and dad awake at night. But here, Jesus is going to take on all of Judah's sin from here to eternity, all of it. And Jesus will give baby Judah everything that he is, everything that he is, a child of God, beloved by the Father, and worthy of a place with him forever. But a warning. Know that when you bring Judah up here, he's not just being welcomed into a new family of faith. You're also going to make some powerful enemies for him. Enemies that he will fight against his whole life by the grace of God. First is the old, grasping, greedy, sinful, self-centered creature within himself, which we all have and we all know. Luther calls that the old Adam. If we're honest, we all know the old Adam or old Eve within ourselves. Second is the world, which is growing more and more violent, more and more unhinged, more and more opposed, violently opposed to the way of Christ. And third is, of course, the devil himself, who strives to destroy all relationships, whether among human beings or between humans and God. Being baptized is not a pass to Easy Street, nor is baptism simply a nice thing to do. Former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, put it well. Perhaps baptism really ought to have some health warnings attached to it. If you take this step, if you go into these depths, it will be transfiguring, exhilarating, life-giving, and very, very dangerous. To be baptized into Jesus is not to be in what the world thinks of as a safe place. Jesus' first disciples discovered that in the Gospels, and his disciples have gone on discovering it ever since. End quote. But even though baptism can make this world more dangerous for us who belong to Jesus Christ, it makes our life secure with God. And we're given the help of a huge family of faith. You have a lot of family and friends here today. But Judah is going to receive an even larger family of faith in being baptized here today, living and dead. And that family helps us to navigate this world. This is the family Peter talks about in our reading from Acts. In God's family, there are no favorites. No one is better than anyone else. And the old divisions and walls that we put up time and time again, which we still can't help ourselves from putting up, are utterly relativized. St. Paul writes, among those in Christ, there's no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We dare not apply the world's standards that view some people as better and other as worse. We're all children of God through our baptism. And we're all loved with a radical love that we do not deserve. God bless us all. God bless you, Emily, Ian, Chrissy, and baby Judah, as you take this step of faith. Amen.